by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
We're back for hour two of the show. John, Tyler, Mitch, all with you here. We're going to do Haters and Ballers, Phil Steele edition, coming up in just a moment. Nice little tidbit on a former Wildcat in the second segment of the hour, plus a little stroll down memory lane that brought a tear to my eye over the weekend. As always, you can't be serious. The Game KMAN to find us on Twitter, and you can call the show 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. Quick recap of what we opened up the show talking about. Phil Steele's full projections are out there. You can get the digital version of the magazine, not the actual Bible, the hard copy of it. You have to wait a couple of weeks for that. We will have Phil Steele on tomorrow. Planning on playing that back at 5:10 for you. So this time tomorrow, Phil Steele, you can hear from the man himself what he thinks of K-State. But he has picked K-State tied for third in the league, tied with TCU and Texas. He has, in general, ranked the units on the defense pretty high, units on the offense pretty low, which is the opposite of what most would really think about the team going into it. But as we explained in the open, there are a lot of factors there. It's an offensive-driven league. You're competing against better offenses. When you're trying to compare K-State's talent there and the total opposite on the defensive side of the ball, I think that's really the predominant one. Now, some of these items and notes from Phil Steele's projections you have heard us talk about throughout the show, but we're going to break them all down here into our Haters and Ballers segment. This may be, you might be out there thinking, this is a little bit of a stretch, John. And you know what? I would tell you, it's June 12th. The Royals don't play today. So, you know what? We're going to stretch.
So like it.
Yeah, and make this Haters and Ballers. Typically, it is different people's projections. For instance, when we were in the NCAA tournament, K-State playing Cincinnati, it was who picked K-State to win, who picked K-State to lose. They're a hater or a baller. And we've got some sound effects that really, I mean, that's really what this game's all about, an excuse to play all these different sound effects that I really like and Tyler hates. So without further ado, if you are ready, we can get this going. And I believe we typically start with the, we go hater, mm-hmm. baller, so that we can end on a baller.
Yep.
All right. So Haters and Ballers, Phil Steele edition. I've got three factoids from his projections on K-State that you won't like and three that you will. First things first, and this should be pretty obvious. We've already stated it. I just stated it 2 seconds ago, but man, Phil Steele has the Cats tied for third with TCU and Texas. And that, I think, is really the problem here. It is not so much the tied for third behind Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It is the being tied with TCU and Texas. I feel like Taylor is the strongest one that we have there, T-Swift, so I had to divulge that here with number one. I mean, I've seen the Texas thing, and we know Texas is going to be there every year, overhyped. The TCU projection's the one that surprises me. I mean, remember what that team looked like at the end of last year? It was the opposite of good.
Yeah.
I will tell you that much. Yeah. Lifeless. They looked lifeless in Fort Worth.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess that Kenny Hill is supposed to, you know, totally turn himself around and lead uh-huh. that team, but
yeah,
mm-hmm. wasn't Kenny Hill, like, the preseason newcomer of the year in the Big 12 last year? Everyone was going nuts over Kenny Trill getting added to Gary Patterson's system.
Pop quiz. How many yards did Kenny Hill throw for in the TCU spring game?
I don't know. How many?
15.
Okay. Didn't he throw like a couple of interceptions in that game too?
I think he was 3 for 5 for 15 yards in the spring game.
Yeah. So, and, you know, they had a number of issues by the end of the year last year. And I do respect Gary Patterson. I think he's the third best coach in the Big 12. But I don't see it. I don't see it with them.
Well, it's not all been bad. Baller number one here in Haters and Ballers Phil Steele edition. It seems like this is almost a yearly thing. And I'm not even kidding with that, but Phil Steele not only had K-State's special teams as number one in the conference, but number one in the country. Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20th place on the Impala. I think we can safely say that according to Phil Steele, every single year, K-State's special teams unit has 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Well, he's got Byron Pringle as the second-best kick returner in the country, which is nice. He's got Nick Walsh as the 15th-best punter in the country. You just, you know, go up and down the list. Dominique Heath gets some get some run as the as one of the best punt returners in the Big 12. So, you know, it's K-State. It's special teams. You know they're always going to do some things.
And Sean Snyder. He will always talk up Sean Snyder quite a bit in the previews as well. All right, Hader number two from the Phil Steele K-State preview here. That would be the running back unit ranking. Not just where they're at in the Big 12, but where they're at nationally. He ranks the top 55 units nationally across the board. K-State's running back unit is not to be found on there, and they are eighth in the Big 12. Now, this is a unit that includes Alex Barnes, who we think may be the biggest breakout star that this team's got and might be the most talented player that they have on offense. Boy, putting that at eighth in the Big 12, a running back is not exactly the strength. That definitely puts you on the hater list.
Still hating so much hate, I need an AK.
And remember that K-State as a team averaged more yards per carry last year than any season in the history of the program.
I had forgotten that.
So that is actually a statistical reason why you know it doesn't really add up.
I will mention that putting the running backs this low in the Big 12 in the country absolutely tees up my point that Alex Barnes is the biggest breakout star waiting in the wings that this team has. Because even Phil Steele sleeping on our guy Alex Barnes based on these projections. He had him fourth team all Big 12.
Right, which is another, we talked in the first hour about how it was strange that he had Jesse Ertz as third team all Big 12 quarterback, but at the running back or at the quarterback position, seventh. Well, if you've got Alex Barnes as the fourth best running back and you know that Justin Silman is perfectly capable as well, kind of surprising to see him eighth.
We continue with Haters and Ballers, Phil Steele K-State preview edition here, and move to Baller number two. You brought up Byron Pringle earlier. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of love for Pringle as a kick returner, but it's not just there. It does not stop there with Byron Pringle, and this genuinely did surprise me and is probably, if you're talking about the most surprising entry on this list on any side, it's probably this one. That is Byron Pringle as a second-team All-Big 12 wide receiver.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown.
The club is full of Phil Steele, putting Byron Pringle second-team All-Big 12 as a wideout. He must be really low on everybody but Byron Pringle in K-State's wide receiver core because he has it as the ninth best in the Big 12, but still Pringle second-team All-League.
Dominique Keith isn't bad.
Yeah,
Isaiah Zuber isn't bad.
That's some disrespect for Dominique Keith right there.
Yeah.
That is some disrespect. All right, so we've gone through two of the haters, two of the ballers from the Phil Steele K-State preview. We'll round it out here, and I'm sure this one will really stick in the side of a lot of K-State fans. Hater number three from the preview would be where he ranks K-State's quarterbacks. Now, it is not necessarily just an individual thing here. This is the whole unit, quote-unquote. So all the quarterbacks that you got, but it's going to be predominantly based on who your starter is. And how about K-State checking in at number seven in the Big 12 in quarterback ranking?
I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts.
That is some hate for Jesse Ertz and company because we don't even need to stop at Ertz. How about the fact that you also have the most talented young quarterback that's been in the program for a long time in Skylar Thompson and a pretty reliable backup who was the talented young pup just a year ago in Alex Delton still playing quarterback. That's a pretty good quarterback unit. Seventh.
Not only does he have Jesse Ertz as his All-Big 12 third-team quarterback, but he lists him as the 30th best quarterback in the country, which,
that's fine.
That's not overwhelming, but again, I wouldn't put your 30th best quarterback in the country being seventh in the Big 12.
Well, here's really a big part of the issue. If Jesse Ertz, if you're looking at it mainly based on Ertz here, if he's the seventh best quarterback in the Big 12, you're putting him behind Shane Buechele at Texas, Will Grier at West Virginia, Kenny Hill, who we just made fun of at TCU, and probably, I was really scraping the bottom of the barrel. You're probably looking at Zach Smith from Baylor.
Yeah.
Then as well.
Or Solomon, who I think is going to be that job.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess it'd be Zach Smith, but it could be a new Solomon who transferred from Arizona.
I think that's the best way to look at it. I think that's the most confusing aspect of all of this.
Well, we always want to end on a baller here in Haters and Ballers, and I will give you this. This one may not be the biggest surprise, but it is moderately surprising to me, and that's based mostly on circumstance, particular one situation that K-State has going on here. But he ranks the Wildcats' defensive line as number one in the Big 12 and number 19 overall in the country. I always make sure and play that one because I know you hate the R. Kelly drop in there. So, defensive line number one in the Big 12. Now, think about this. Will Geary, we don't know necessarily if he's going to be on the team come fall. I would still expect him to in all likelihood, but that is not a guarantee. You just lost your third-round draft pick, defensive player of the year in the Big 12, Jordan Willis. There is one guy outside of Trey Deshaun and Will Geary who has even seen the field at defensive tackle in Ray Price, so there's just not a whole lot of depth there. There are enough question marks on the defensive line to me that I have it, if you're asking me for a list of what I expect for the team next year, I've got that as a concern, legitimate concern.
In the individual rankings, he's got Will Geary as the 37th best defensive tackle in the country. That I can see. But where he really has a lot of respect, he's got Trey Deshaun as the 43rd best defensive tackle in the country.
Man.
Just six spots behind Will Geary. So he's saying that combination right there, and you add in Reggie Walker, who we saw last year as a legitimate playmaker, that's enough to be number one in the Big 12. And that also could be the result of maybe the Big 12 being down as a conference along the defensive line this year.
Well, yeah, certainly I think the fact that it's 19th overall in the country and number one in the Big 12 tells you, I mean, that helps make our point about where things sit in the Big 12. Defensively, there is just not that much talent on that side of the ball across the league. So that helps you relatively climb the rankings there, even though it does surprise us to see the one by the defensive line. But there's some of the ins and outs of the Phil Steele preview. Again, we'll have Mr. Steele on tomorrow. Very much looking forward to that. We'll play it at 5:10 so you can hear in his own words what he thinks of the Cats and the Big 12. We got You Can't Be Serious before the show is done, as always. When we come back, I got a little misty-eyed, little teary-eyed this weekend. I'll tell you why coming up on the game.